Welcome back, everyone. For this deep dive, you've sent us a real grab bag of sources.
Yeah.
News on the global economy, some stuff on tech giants,
yeah.
Even a peek into how Amish communities are doing so well. Almost feels like we're about to take a deep dive into a world that's changing right in front of us, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. And that's what makes this deep dive, I think, so fascinating, you know? We're going to uncover those major forces shaping our world right now. And I bet we're going to find some unexpected links between these seemingly unrelated topics.
All right, let's jump right in.
Yeah.
A lot of these sources point to, well, frankly, economic uncertainty, especially in the U.S. and the EU.
Right.
But it's not a simple story of boom or bust.
Yeah.
On the one hand, the U.S. restaurant industry is dealing with the highest number of bankruptcies since 2020.
Wow.
But then you see Amish communities, and they're having a real economic upswing.
It's interesting,
I
isn't it,
mean,
what going on there?
it's fascinating. It's
Yeah.
almost like they're operating in a parallel economic universe.
Right. But I think if we look closely at the sources you provided, it's not magic, it's strategy.
Oh.
They've shifted their focus to manufacturing and entrepreneurship. They're producing goods that are in high demand and doing it with, a really strong sense of community and cooperation. And of course, they're not as reliant on those global financial systems that are causing so much volatility right now.
That's a great point. So while rising interest rates and inflation are hitting the restaurant industry pretty hard, the Amish communities, their self-reliance and adaptability,
Right.
those are proving to be real assets in these times.
Yeah.
It makes you wonder what lessons we can learn from their approach, huh?
Absolutely. Yeah. It definitely challenges our, some of our assumptions about what it takes to thrive economically these days.
Yeah.
But even as we see the Amish kind of finding their footing, on the other side of the world, the EU is grappling with its own set of economic woes.
Yeah, the sources, they paint a pretty stark picture of what's happening over there. Facing a slowdown, and it seems like everything's playing a role. Inflation, the energy crisis, even their ambitious green transition, it's a lot.
Yeah, it really is a complex mix of factors.
Yeah.
Remember those sources we were looking at about their dependence on Russian energy?
Right.
That's been a major vulnerability. And they've set some really ambitious targets for moving away from fossil fuels, which is admirable.
Of course.
But it's also it's creating some economic friction, right, as industries adapt.
Right, as they try to adjust.
Yeah, exactly.
And then on top of all of that, you got the whole issue of the U.S. and the EU really struggling to coordinate their trade policies.
Yeah.
I mean, those disputes over tariffs and subsidies, particularly with this Inflation Reduction Act,
Yeah.
are creating some real tension across the Atlantic.
It's a classic example of how domestic policies can have unintended consequences on that global stage.
Oh, for sure.
The Inflation Reduction Act, just as one example, aims to boost American manufacturing, especially of those green technologies. But it's also raised concerns in Europe about unfair competition.
Right.
So you've got these two major economic powers trying to navigate their own internal pressures while also trying to maintain a healthy trading relationship.
It's a delicate balance.
Very much so.
It really makes you realize that economics, I mean, it's rarely isolated.
Right.
It's all interconnected.
Yeah.
One country's policy can send ripples across the globe.
Absolutely.
But it's not just about the money, right?
Yeah.
We saw some interesting parallels in how organizations are kind of approaching leadership transitions.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
That article about Disney preparing for Bob Iger's eventual departure and the Pentagon actively recruiting tech professionals for the reserves. I mean,
Totally different.
on the surface, they seem worlds apart.
Right.
But when you dig a little deeper, they both reveal a fascinating trend.
Yeah, what's the common thread?
They're both recognizing that the old ways of doing things just won't cut it in the future.
Hmm.
Disney needs leaders who understand the rapidly evolving entertainment landscape, people who can navigate those streaming wars and keep pace with all these technological
It's
advancements.
a whole different world.
It is.
And the Pentagon.
Well, the Pentagon's realizing that cyber warfare and artificial intelligence are going to be just as important as traditional military might.
Oh, absolutely.
So they need people with those specialized skills ready to step up when the time
So
comes.
it's all about future-proofing their leadership, making sure they have the right people with the right skills at the helm.
Exactly.
And that kind of brings us to another theme that popped up in these sources, security.
Yeah, and it's manifesting in some fascinating ways.
For sure.
On the one hand, you have the EU bolstering its military capabilities in response to the war in Ukraine and, you know, ongoing tensions with Russia.
Right.
It's a very real and present threat that they're taking very seriously.
And then on the other side of the world, we see Arizona going to what some might call extreme lengths to ensure security for the 2024 election.
Yeah, it's a good reminder that security concerns, I mean, they can emerge on vastly different scales, but have a common root.
Absolutely.
Adapting to those perceived threats.
Right.
The EU is responding to a geopolitical crisis while Arizona is trying to safeguard the integrity of their democratic process.
Mm-hmm.
But the stakes are high in both cases.
You can say that again.
Yeah, and both situations highlight how deeply intertwined, you know, security and stability truly are.
Yeah.
Whether we're talking about global power dynamics or the foundations of a democratic society.
Absolutely.
But speaking of shifting landscapes, we can't ignore the big one in the room. Technology.
Of course not. It's everywhere shaping everything.
It is.
And, you know, it's not always a straightforward story of progress.
Right.
On the one hand, you have these tech giants like Google and Meta facing scrutiny in the EU for potential antitrust violations.
Okay.
They're being held accountable for, well, frankly, their immense power and influence.
Yeah. And it raises that, you know, it raises an important question. How do we balance the undeniable benefits of technological innovation with the need to regulate these powerful companies and protect consumers?
It's a big one.
It is.
It's a debate that's raging on both sides of the Atlantic.
Yeah, and it's not just about big tech either, you know. Even the cannabis industry is being reshaped by these changing attitudes and evolving regulations.
Right. Yeah, it's really interesting to see how quickly that political landscape can shift.
Oh, for sure.
We were just talking about tech giants, but the cannabis industry is a prime example of how changing attitudes can really lead to those regulatory changes.
Yeah.
You mentioned those sources highlighting that bipartisan support for cannabis legalization in the U.S., even from figures like Trump and Harris.
It's a real sign of the times, isn't it?
It is.
Makes you realize that even those deeply entrenched political divides can start to crumble when public opinion shifts.
Yeah.
But it's not just about changing laws,
yeah,
right? It's also about adapting to the human consequences of all these global transitions.
Yeah.
We can't forget about the people caught in the crosshairs of all this change.
Absolutely. You know, we've been talking about this economic uncertainty,
right,
but the social and political landscapes, I mean, they're shifting just as dramatically.
Yeah.
And people are trying to find their footing in this new reality.
Yeah, there's a sense of urgency in the air, wouldn't you say?
There is.
It's like everyone's trying to figure out their next move in this constantly evolving game.
It's a bit like that classic game of chess, you know?
Ooh, yeah, yeah.
Every move has consequences. You have to anticipate your opponent's strategy while also protecting your own pieces.
I like that analogy, yeah. Where do we see this chess game playing out most prominently? What jumped out at you from the sources?
Well, I think that the political arena is certainly a hotbed of adaptation, right?
Yeah.
The U.S. political landscape, it's fascinating right now.
Right.
Especially with the 2024 elections on the horizon.
Right.
We were just discussing cannabis legalization.
Yeah.
But that's just one example of how these unexpected alliances can form when those political winds shift.
It's like the old playbook is being thrown out the window.
Exactly. And it's not just happening domestically.
Right.
The EU's response to the ongoing migration crisis, it's another example of adaptation, albeit a complex and often controversial one.
Oh, for sure.
They're trying to find that balance between compassion and pragmatism.
Right.
You know, the sources we were looking at show the EU grappling with, you know, balancing those humanitarian concerns with the political realities of its member states.
Yeah.
Some countries are calling for more open borders, kind of a shared responsibility, while others are pushing for stricter controls.
It's tough.
It's a delicate balancing act. No easy answers.
And it seems like a similar dynamic is playing out in the U.S. education system.
Mm. Oh, interesting.
Those sources that you sent, they highlighted those teacher shortages and those curriculum debates that are happening right now.
Yeah.
It's like everyone has an opinion on what kids should be learning.
Yeah.
But finding common ground is proving to be a real challenge.
It's a fascinating microcosm of societal anxieties, isn't it?
Yeah.
Are we preparing our children for the future? Are we equipping them with the right skills and knowledge to navigate a world that's changing faster than ever? Damn. These are questions that resonate far beyond the classroom.
They really do. And it And it seems like every path leads us back to the role of technology in shaping the future.
Yeah.
We talked about those tech giants facing antitrust scrutiny in the EU.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like the U.S. is starting to grapple with similar concerns. Uh-huh. Are we reaching a tipping point here?
I think there's a growing awareness, both in the U.S. and globally, of the power that these tech companies wield, not just economically, but also in terms of information control and social influence.
True.
The question is, how do we balance those undeniable benefits of technological innovation with the need for regulation and oversight?
That's a tough one.
It is a tough question, no doubt.
Yeah.
But it's one we can't afford to ignore.
Right.
Especially when you consider the impact of technology on everything from job markets to those privacy concerns we were talking about earlier.
It really is everywhere.
It's like technology is both the problem and the solution all rolled into one.
Yeah. I think that's right.
It leads us to another area where adaptation is critical. Climate change.
Okay.
Remember those sources we were discussing about the accelerating energy transition?
Yeah.
That's a story of adaptation driven by innovation, but also by necessity.
It really is. Yeah, we're seeing those advancements in renewable energy, sustainable agriculture, and even carbon capture technologies.
Mm-hmm.
It's like humanity is finally waking up to the urgency of the climate crisis and putting its ingenuity to work, wouldn't you say?
I'd agree with that. There's definitely a sense of urgency that wasn't there before.
Right.
But, you know, as the sources pointed out, challenges remain.
Oh, of course.
We need to address issues like energy storage, grid infrastructure, and the economic costs of transitioning away from fossil fuels.
What a big undertaking.
It is. And frankly, it's going to require global cooperation on a scale we haven't seen before.
That's true.
Yeah.
It is a daunting task, there's no doubt.
Yeah.
But the alternative is, well, it's unthinkable.
It is.
We've seen the devastating impacts of climate change already.
Yeah.
And the projections for the future are even more alarming.
You're right. We can't afford to be complacent.
No.
But it's not just about government policies and technological solutions.
Right.
It also requires a shift in mindset.
Okay.
A recognition that sustainability isn't just an environmental issue.
Mm.
It's an economic issue. It's a social issue. And ultimately, it's a human issue.
I think that's a key point. Yeah, it's about understanding that we're all interconnected and that our individual choices, they really have ripple effects.
Me too.
What we do today impacts not just our lives, but the lives of future generations.
Absolutely. It's about recognizing that we're all part of a larger ecosystem, both literally and figuratively.
Right.
And that brings us to a truly fascinating example of adaptation and resilience.
Mm-hmm.
Those millennials finding economic success in Amish communities.
Yeah,
it might seem like an odd juxtaposition at first.
It does. It does.
But there's a lot we can learn from their approach.
Yeah, it's definitely an unexpected twist.
Yeah.
But it speaks volumes about the need for community and connection, especially during times of uncertainty.
Right.
It's like they've found a different way of living and thriving.
Mm-hmm.
That's less reliant on those traditional markers of success.
Exactly, and it challenges our assumptions about what it means to have a fulfilling life.
Right.
They're prioritizing community, craftsmanship, and a connection to the land.
Yeah.
In many ways, it's a rejection of that consumerist culture that's driving so much of our global economy.
Makes you wonder if they're onto something, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, we're constantly bombarded with messages about needing more, buying more, achieving more.
Right.
But maybe there's a different path.
Maybe so.
A simpler way of living that's more in tune with our values and our planet.
It's definitely a thought-provoking example, and I think it highlights the fact that adaptation isn't just about responding to those external pressures.
Mm-hmm.
It's also about internal reflection.
Right.
And reevaluating our priorities. Mm-hmm. So while the world is in a state of constant flux, it's also a time of great opportunity for personal growth and societal transformation.
I love that perspective. It's not just about surviving these transitions. It's about thriving in them.
Exactly.
And that requires us to be open to new ideas, new ways of doing things, and perhaps even new ways of defining success.
Absolutely. And that leads us to another critical piece of the puzzle. Climate change.
Okay.
We touched on it in the context of the energy transition.
Right.
But it deserves a deeper dive of its own. It's not just one issue among many.
Right.
It's the overarching narrative that's shaping everything else.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Climate change it isn't just a topic. It's the context for everything we've been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the stage on which all these other dramas are unfolding.
It's the defining challenge of our time, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely.
And it's forcing us to rethink everything.
Yeah.
From how we power our homes and businesses to how we manage our resources and even how we envision the future of our societies.
And these sources we've looked at, they really drive that point home.
They do.
We've seen reports on the intensification of extreme weather events, rising sea levels, warnings about the potential for mass displacement and ecosystem collapse.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a pretty sobering picture.
It is. It is, and it's easy to feel overwhelmed by the sheer scale of the problem.
Right.
But the sources also highlight something else.
Yeah.
The incredible resilience and adaptability of humans.
Right. We talked about the energy transition, those advancements in renewable energy, sustainable agriculture, and those carbon capture technologies.
Mm-hmm.
It shows that we're not just standing still, you know.
Yeah.
We're actively seeking solutions.
Exactly. And I think what's so fascinating is how this crisis is forcing us to re-examine those economic models.
Right.
That old idea of endless growth on a finite planet, it's simply not sustainable.
Yeah.
We need new ways of measuring success.
Okay.
Ways that prioritize well-being, resilience, and a harmonious relationship with nature.
It's like we're being forced to ask ourselves some really fundamental questions.
We are.
Like, what kind of world do we want to leave for future generations? What truly matters?
Right.
How do our values translate into action?
Those are the big questions, aren't they?
They are.
They are.
And the answers, they're not going to come solely from governments or corporations.
Right.
It requires a collective shift in consciousness.
Okay.
A recognition that we're all interconnected and that our choices, they have consequences that extend far beyond ourselves.
It's empowering in a way, you know?
It is.
It means that every individual has a role to play.
Right.
Whether it's, you know, making conscious consumer choices, supporting sustainable businesses, or advocating for policy changes, every action contributes to a larger movement.
And we're seeing that movement gain momentum, you know?
Yeah.
Those sources you sent, they highlighted those grassroots initiatives, community-led projects, youth activism demanding climate action.
Yeah.
There's a rising tide of awareness, especially among those younger generations,
mm-hmm.
and they're not waiting for permission to make a difference.
It's inspiring, isn't it? Seeing people step up, take ownership of the problem, and refuse to be passive bystanders. You know, real change happens when people at that grassroots level decide to act.
Absolutely. But it's not just about individual action.
Right.
It's also about systemic change. Those sources about the EU's Green Deal, for example, they show how policy can play a crucial role in shaping a sustainable future.
Yeah.
We need bold leadership, innovative policies, and investments that address the root causes of the climate crisis.
It's about thinking long term.
Yeah.
Moving beyond those short-sighted political cycles,
mm-hmm.
and embracing a vision of a thriving planet for generations to come.
Yes, and it's about ensuring that this vision is inclusive and equitable.
Right. We can't leave anyone behind.
We can't. The climate crisis disproportionately impacts marginalized communities, and we need to make sure that solutions are just and leave no one behind.
Yeah, it's a call for solidarity, for recognizing that we're all in this together.
We are.
And that our collective fate is intertwined with the health of our planet.
It really is.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, what are your final thoughts? We've covered a lot of ground, from economic uncertainty and political shifts to technological advancements and that ever-present reality of climate change.
You know, it's been a fascinating journey through a world in transition.
It have.
I'm struck by the sheer complexity of the challenges we face.
Right.
But also by the incredible ingenuity and resilience of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, I'm left with a sense of hope.
Go ahead.
Hope that we can rise to the occasion, that we can adapt and innovate, and that we can create a future that's worthy of our children and grandchildren.
It's a future we have to actively create, not just passively wait for.
We do.
So to our listener, I'll echo what was said earlier. What role will you play in shaping this future?
Stay curious, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay hopeful.
We have a power to make a difference.
We do.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive.
It's been a pleasure.
We'll see you next time for another exploration of the forces shaping our world.